cannabis topics in less than 10 minutes. Let's go.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Dime. I'm Brian Fields, and with me, as always, is Kellen Finney. And this week, we've got a very special guest, President and CEO of New Lake, Anthony Coniglio. Anthony, thanks for taking time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me. Look forward to the conversation.
One of the words thrown around consistently that I'm not so familiar with, but I'd like you to elaborate on, is triple net lease. What does that mean? And in layman's terms, how does that work?
Yes. No, it's a great question, because especially around real estate, you could hear single net, double net, triple net. The essence of triple net is that all of the property's expenses are borne by the tenant. And so you will often say, okay, I'm renting. Maybe people who are watching are renting an apartment and they have to pay their own utilities. It would be a similar type of thing, but what they wouldn't have to pay for is if the window broke or something happened with the roof. Here with triple net, all of the property expenses are borne by the tenant themselves. And so for us, it really looks more like a financing transaction. It really looks more like we're providing the capital for the real estate. They provide the ongoing maintenance.
Got it. So for example, a company like Curaleaf would be the one that owned the property and then send it back. How does that back and forth work from an origin standpoint and then to where it goes?
Yes. So let me kind of take a step back. We are a real estate investment trust that is a classification of a real estate fund that allows us to avoid double taxation as long as we meet the certain rules that Congress has put in place for us. And primarily, it's about distributing our earnings. So as long as we distribute our taxable income, there is no taxation at the corporate level. So it's a very efficient way to gather assets for real estate and invest those assets on behalf of our shareholders. And with respect to the triple net, Curaleaf, the way we accumulate our assets is a Curaleaf, in your example, could have a property that they own and is currently operating, and they could turn around, sell it to us, and then we lease it back immediately. No interruption to the operations. They stay in possession of the building. We transfer paper. We transfer that ownership. Another way we come across our properties is we can purchase properties for our tenants. So as an example, we have a transaction going right now in Missouri with C3, where we had actually acquired the property on their behalf, entered into a lease immediately with them, and then provided capital for the construction of a building. And we could do that for an existing building where maybe we're buying a building and then providing capital for the refurbishment and build out of the building, or we could do a ground up construction. But at the end of the day, each one of these transactions leaves us with a stream of cash flows or rental payments that are 15 to 20 years in duration.
So when you're looking at states like Missouri, is it location, 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 or is it more like value opportunity, or is it like strategic positioning in regards to going first? How do you balance the three of those?
Quite frankly, it's all of that. And it's indeed what you just said. It is a balance of those items. Let me pull it apart and give you a couple of examples. If we were to be looking at dispensaries in Missouri, we currently own two cultivation facilities for two companies in Missouri. And if we were looking at dispensaries, though, understanding the license structure and understanding the geography of those regions is important. So in St. Louis, right, if you're on the western side of the state, you're in St. Louis. The way the state gave out the licenses and they divided it up the districts, you would end up having roughly 60 licenses around St. Louis. If you were to go to the other side of the state, to Kansas City, the way the counties are laid out there and the resulting number of licenses, you have order of magnitude, roughly 30 licenses. But when you think about Kansas City and the other half of the city is in the state of Kansas, you could get people that would come across the border, you start to see that your addressable market in the Kansas City area is bigger than your addressable market in the St. Louis area, and you have roughly half the competition. So it's those dynamics that you would want to be focused on and understanding around the licensing and the location of a particular property. One other example would be border stores. Some border stores have done very, very well, but as new states come online next to that border, you'll likely see a decrease in sales. And in fact, we've seen that time and again occur when an adjacent state opens up for our medical, but in particular adult use, you'll see significant decrease in sales. And so you just need to underwrite that evolution.
Then how does the balance work with the partners and the MSOs? Because I would assume, I'm just going to make an assumption, that they lean on you as like a scout and understanding locations. Because if you're partnering together in one state, they likely want to have that continuity going forward because you've already done the business, you've vetted them, you've written all the paperwork. So is it a matter of, hey, we've got exposure to three Cure Leaves, we want one True Leave? Or is it more like we prefer to work with this person and we let the highest bidder go and let the market dictate how that goes?
No, another very good question. We definitely are focused on diversification and we're focused on concentration. And so we do want to make sure that to the extent that we are concentrated in a name, it's a name we have extreme confidence in. So if you were to look at our top three tenants today, it would be names such as Curaleaf, Cresco, and Trueleaf. And so we get very comfortable with those larger names, particularly in the states that we have properties with them. And so it is important for us to make sure we're doing business with quality companies, but it isn't always that the best companies are public necessarily. We have some private company tenants that would actually give some of the public companies a run for their ability to generate profit and free cash flow after taxes. And so there's some real, real quality private companies that are out there. So just because somebody's public doesn't mean that you automatically get a pass. You certainly have to do your diligence, understand the balance sheet, the P&L, the cash flow statement, as well as the individual facilities and what their long-term strategy is.
Does it allow you, though, if you have a really pristine property that you know is a golden one, to have, like, say, a bidding war against them and say to the operators, hey, we've got this awesome property and Cresco's interested. What do you think, Curaleaf? Do you want to match? Do you want to race? Is it possible to do that, or is that not the type of business that you think it works for?
So one could do that. That is not our business. We don't do development in that way. There are a couple of smaller folks out there that will buy a site, secure a site, get the site entitled to allow for cannabis, and then they'll go out and they'll market it to various operators. We see this happen in Florida a lot around dispensaries. What we have found is that you need a meaningful amount of local knowledge, whether it be ordinances or boards, in order to get approval. And it's just not in our wheelhouse. What we tend to find also is that operators really have a keen sense on where they want to be located, where they want to site their cultivation facility or a dispensary, and they will come to us with the property in mind.
Would your team ever consider being an M&A vehicle for, let's say, two of the bigs kind of coming together if you have a good underwriting of both of the assets together? And then would that be something you'd consider?
Well, we have a lot of M&A background. You know, I was a banker and some other folks that are involved in the business were as well. What we have seen over the last few years is when people are talking about combining their businesses, sometimes that business has owned real estate in it. And they will come and they'll talk to us about executing a sale leaseback transaction concurrent with the M&A to create cash at closing so that some of the consideration can be cash as opposed to just stock. It's not as dilutive if they can use some cash for the consideration in the transaction. So in that context, would we ever introduce folks that we know? We do that all the time. I'd say it's less and less these days because everybody tends to know each other. There's less exploratory conversations, if you will. But we would, we're not looking to be an M&A shop. We're looking really to just build relationships, help people succeed, because if our tenants are successful, we're going to be successful.
What question do you wish more people asked you?
Why is your stock so undervalued? I think that's been an underappreciated, it's a very self-serving question, but you asked it. I think until recently, people looked at NewLake and they either weren't sure what we did or they didn't know enough about our business to ask about the undervaluation and or where can I buy your stock? And so what we've done this quarter is we actually have a page on our website that lists out where people can buy our stock since it's OTC listed, since we're cannabis adjacent. It's often difficult, as we all know, around custody. And so we have that page on our site that's been helpful. But we've also added some information this most recent quarter into our investor deck, highlighting that valuation discount to our peers. And I think that's been helpful to educating investors about our company.
All right, Anthony, prediction time. With major potential adult use markets on the horizon like Florida and Pennsylvania, how does NewLake plan to capitalize on the evolving market dynamics to be at the forefront of the next major wave?
Yeah, it's one word, relationships. What we've been trying to do over the past 5+ years in this business is build relationships and have a quality reputation that we can work with tenants successfully to accomplish their needs. It seems pretty straightforward when you say, oh, we're going to provide a sale leaseback transaction. But I can tell you, most transactions have a nuance, whether it's a particular build out nuance, whether there's a licensing nuance, there's always something to it. And what we like to think of ourselves as is partners to these tenants, working through those issues, figuring out a way for them to be long-term successful. Because I said it before, our tenants' success will ultimately be our success. And so as we look at these states, we understand the landscape of players out there, and most of them know us. And so what we want to do is continue to put ourselves out there as one of the organizations that has capital to invest, that can be a good long-term partner for any of the businesses that are looking for capital in these particular states. And so for us, we'll keep our head down, keep building relationships, sound underwriting, and continue to pay out a quarterly dividend to our shareholders.
So Anthony, for our listeners, they want to get in touch, they want to buy New Lake stock, where can they find you?
NewLake.com. On our investor page, there is a how to buy our stock tab. We're listed on the OTC under the ticker symbol NLCP.
Awesome. We'll link it all in the show notes. Thanks for taking the time. This was a lot of fun.
Guys, thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Likewise.
Guys, if you've enjoyed this podcast over the last few years, can you please take 3 minutes or less and leave us a quick review on Apple or Spotify? All reviews make a massive difference for us and help other people like you find this podcast. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hey friends, I'm Brannon.
And I'm Saba.
And we are your host of the Cannabis Hangout Podcast, an educational platform to connect with the cannabis community and share personal stories while breaking the stigma of marijuana.
Join us every Sunday at 7 p.m. to gain valuable insight with different perspectives from industry leaders, growers, and medical marijuana patients.
This is a place to learn so much from different angles in the cannabis industry. So tune in while we break it all down.